Happy Valentine's Day! The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, February 13th, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 140th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. Now, this is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, a site called GOP USA ran a story with the title, Shakespeare to Anti-Trumpsters, Thou Dost Protest Too Much, which alas did not contain a single reference to the Bard. So would that make that headline an alternative fact? On the other end of the political spectrum is a story on Prospect.org titled Q&A, A Tale Told by an Idiot, Shakespeare and Trump, in which the new artistic director for Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, discusses the Shakespearean themes found in the Trump administration. The Stranger interviewed the director of Bring Down the House, the first part of a two-part distillation of the Henry VI plays. Broadway World ran the announcement by Washington, D.C.'s Shakespeare Theater Company's 2017-18 season, which includes Twelfth Night, Othello, and a touring production of Othello, among others. The Whittier Daily News ran a piece on the current repertory runs of King Lear and Man of La Mancha at Pasadena, California's A Noise Within, citing the connection between their two lead characters. Broadway World ran the announcement by the Public Theater of this summer's Shakespeare in the Park slate, Julius Caesar with Jeffrey Wright as Mark Antony, and A Midsummer Night's Dream. The Daily Telegraph in Australia ran a profile on Jessica Chastain, who was a Shakespeare geek who hated high school. I can picture it. The Tuscaloosa News ran a piece on a rescue dog starring in a performance of The Two Gentlemen of Verona at the Bama Theater. The Guardian ran a think piece on women's roles in Shakespeare. It uses as an excuse and a headline Tasman Grieg's upcoming turn as Malvolia, for the National Theater, which I am looking forward to like nobody's business, to rant on the lack of women's roles both on stage and behind it. The Maitland Mercury previewed an upcoming one-night production of Much Ado About Nothing by Shakespeare in the Vines in Hunter Valley, California, set for February 25th. The Valley Independent Sentinel previewed the upcoming production of The Merry Wives of Windsor, a Shakespeare in the Bar presentation, in early March in Shelton, Connecticut. The Reedsburg Times Press previewed the upcoming production of The Desperate Housewives of Shakespeare by the Reedsburg Players. The one act, envisioning an evening with some of Shakespeare's female characters, will play this weekend in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Broadway World also previewed the upcoming production of Baltimore Shakespeare Factory's Antony and Cleopatra, coming next month in Maryland. The Chicago Tribune reviewed Cymbeline by Straw Dog at the Factory Theater, running through the end of the month in Chicago, Illinois, saying that the production makes sense of one of Shakespeare's least sensible plays. The Floor Alla reviewed the recent stop of the Aquila Theater Company's national touring production of Much Ado About Nothing on the campus of the University of North Alabama, calling the production quite entertaining. DC Metro Theater Arts reviewed Richard III by Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, running through March 5th in Baltimore, Maryland, calling the production a wintertime winner with superior production values and exceptional performances. And finally, the Daily Nonpareil reviewed Much Ado About Nothing by Bellevue Little Theater, running for two more weekends in Bellevue, Nebraska, saying that the Wild West setting works well. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On February 7, 1601, a revival of Richard II was performed at the Globe Theatre, as commissioned by the Earl of Essex's supporters just before his unsuccessful rebellion. Also on this date, in 1478, Sir Thomas More, counselor to Henry VIII, was born. An opponent of the Reformation, he refused to sign the Oath of Supremacy, which made Henry the head of the Church of England, and was then convicted of treason and executed. On February 8, 1587, Mary Queen of Scots, Mary Stuart, also known as Mary I of Scotland, was executed for treason under orders of Queen Elizabeth. Her son, James VI, would succeed Elizabeth as James I of England. On February 9, 1662, Judith Quiney, maiden name Shakespeare, the daughter of William Shakespeare, died at the age of 77. On February 10, 1616, Judith Shakespeare, daughter of William Shakespeare, married Thomas Quiney at the Holy Trinity Church in Stratford-upon-Avon. Also on this date in 1531, Henry VIII was recognized as the head of the Church of England. Notice how all of these kind of work together. Elizabeth of York, daughter of King Edward IV and Elizabeth Woodville, the queen consort to Henry VII and the mother of Henry VIII, was born on February 11, 1486, and died on the same date in 1503 at the age of 37. On February 12, 1554, Lady Jane Grey, who was the Queen of England after Edward VI and before Mary, between the 10th and 19th of July in 1553, was beheaded for treason. February 13th through 15th is Lupercalia, the ancient fertility festival. The first scenes of Julius Caesar take place at this time of the year, and a month away from the fateful Ides of March. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending February 13th, 2017. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week. Psst. Happy Valentine's Day. Love you, Lisa.